ஸ்ரீ சுவாமியாரில பிரபாதக்கு ஆனந்த கோடி வைஷ்ணவனுக்கு கிரந்தரா ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கி ஜெயநாய் கோர் பிரேமானந்தே ஓர் குரு ஸ்ரீ அசம்பள்ளி ஓடி சோல் குரு ஸ்ரீ அசம்பள்ளி ஓடி சோல் குரு ஸ்ரீ அசம்பள்ளி ஓடி சோல் குரு ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீ குரு கோரங்க ஓல் குரு ஸ்ரீல பிரபாதக்கு ஜாய். ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. Text number 14. Word to word translation. Shashvat, eternally. Sarupa, transcendental form. Mahasa, by the glories. Eva, certainly. Nipita, distinguished. Bheda, differentiation. Mohaya, unto the illusory conception. Bodha, self-knowledge. Dhishanaya, intelligence. Namaha, obeisances. Parasmai, unto the transcendence. Vishya Udbhava, creation of the cosmic manifestation. Sthiti, maintenance. Layeshu, also destruction. Nimitta, for the matter of. Leela, by such pastimes. Rasaya, for enjoyment. Te, unto you. Namaha, obeisances. Idam, this. Chakrama, do I perform. Ishwaraya, unto the supreme. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Let me offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Transcendence, who is eternally distinguished by His internal potency. His indistinguishable impersonal feature is realized by intelligence for self-realization. I offer my obeisances unto Him who by His pastimes enjoy the creation, maintenance and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. So since we don't have the translation here, maybe we'll try to repeat once more, you know, and maybe you can repeat. I'll just go slowly. Let me offer my obeisances, unto the Supreme Transcendence, who is eternally distinguished by His internal potency. His indistinguishable impersonal feature is realized by intelligence for self-realization. I offer my obeisances unto Him who by His pastimes enjoys the creation, maintenance and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. Purport. The Supreme Lord is eternally distinguished from the living entities by His internal potency. Although He is also understood in His impersonal feature by self-realized intelligence. Devotees of the Lord therefore offer all respectful obeisances unto the impersonal feature of the Lord. The word rasa is significant herein. The rasa dance is performed by Lord Krishna in the company of the cowherd damsels at Vrindavan, and the personality of Godhead Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is also engaged in rasa enjoyment with His external potency, by which He creates, maintains and dissolves the entire material manifestation. Indirectly, Lord Brahma offers his respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who is factually ever engaged in rasa enjoyment with the gopis, as confirmed in the Gopala Tapani Upanishad in the following words: Parārthante so abudhyata gopavesho me purushaha purastat avat babhuva. The distinction between the Lord and the living entity is definitely experienced when there is sufficient intelligence to understand his internal potency as distinguished from the external potency by which he makes possible the material manifestation. Translation: Let me offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Transcendence, who is eternally distinguished by his internal potency. His indistinguishable impersonal feature is realized by intelligence for self-realization. I offer my obeisances unto him who by his pastimes enjoy the creation, maintenance and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. Om Ajnanati Mrantasya Jnananchana Shlakaya Chakshuran Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Lord Brahma is continuing his prayers for creative energy. So he is embarking upon a very great difficult task to create the entire cosmic manifestation. So even though he is the secondary creator, the task is enormous because he has to create unlimited living entities and they have to give bodies according to their karma. Think about the karma each and every living entity would have accrued over many lifetimes, probably millions or trillions of lifetimes. And the Lord Brahma's task is to give a suitable body accordingly. So it is not at all easy. So Srila Prabhupada quotes many times Lord Brahma as the engineer of the universe. So we have so many small engineers here, and they get graduated, and there are many engineers. They play with a small machines here, or a building, or some mechanical arrangement, a few things, or maximum a rocket or a satellite. However, think about the position of Lord Brahma. He has to perform this Herculean task, and for that, definitely he needs the mercy of the Lord. So here, prayers are presented so that he can invoke the mercy of, on one level, that of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And in the series of prayers, the verses are very profound. All the verses in this section are very profound. Wherever we see Lord Brahma's prayers, they are very profound. In terms of the devotion, in terms of the philosophical content. For example, if you refer to 10th canto, 14th chapter, the initial, maybe around 20 or 30 verses, are again prayers of Lord Brahma, seeking blessings of the Lord because he had performed a great sin against the Lord. So here, he is not in that position. He just needs the mercy of the Lord for creation. And in this particular verse, Lord Brahma illuminates the character of a devotee, and especially that of a pure devotee, who prays obeisances even to the impersonal feature of the Lord. So here we can see, let me offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Transcendence, who is eternally distinguished by his internal potency. So then what is that? His indistinguishable impersonal feature is realized by intelligence for self-realization. So Srila Prabhupada says, a pure devotee of the Lord, he is ready to pay respectful obeisances even to the impersonal aspect of the Lord. So here, this statement we have to understand very carefully. We can take some examples how devotees approach the impersonal feature of the Lord. We know the famous statement of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. He says, Kaivalyam Narakayate. You know, it's a very long verse, very nice verse. He presents apparent contradictions faced by a devotee. The first one is Kaivalyam Narakayate. Because all the impersonalists and even many of the yogis, they are searching after the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. And they are ready to perform all different kinds of austerities to attain impersonal Brahma Jyoti. However, a pure devotee like Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur mentions that Kaivalyam Narakayate. Kaivalyam means becoming one with the Lord. He says it is Narakayate. It is as bad as hellish condition. So, it can look a bit strange for many people, because even great devotees, they consider it has its potency. The impersonal feature has its potency because it is known different from the Lord. Ajnanam Advayam. So the three features of the Lord, they are Advayam. They are this Advaya Jnana, meaning they are known different because they are all different aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, one time in Jagannath Puri temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was enacting his pastimes and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a recent convert to the bhakti cult. So if somebody is a recent convert, they have strong feel for it. They can be a bit fanatic. You know, I have seen recently converted Christians, especially from my place, I have seen many, and they are very fanatical. If somebody is a Christian for some time, in a few generations, they are pretty okay. They understand, okay, when we talk about the Bhagavad, they are alright, okay. Everyone can practice, they are pretty much, pretty okay. But if somebody is a recent convert, they have this fanatic idea about their own religion. So it's a common thing. So many of them I have seen, the recent convert Christians, they were, initially they were knowing about Krishna, and now that they have become Christians, they want to reject everything. So they start blaspheming very heavily Krishna, his activities, as it is mentioned. There is a mention about Rasa dance in this purport. So they criticize each and everything because of lack of knowledge. That's all. Similarly, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, again from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, which is again the prayers of Lord Brahma. So the last line of this verse is Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhag. Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhag. So it is talking about a devotee who is ready to engage his body, mind, and activities in service of the Lord. He ultimately attains the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom, and it is his rightful claim. And that is mentioned as Muktipada. Muktipada. Muktipade Sadaya Bhag. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard the word Muktipade, in fact the phrase Muktipade, he became very upset. He said, how can I chant Muktipade Sadaya Bhag? I have to chant this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam as Bhakti Pade Sadaya Bhag. Bhakti Pad. It cannot be Mukti Pad, because I spent whole lifetime presenting this impersonal philosophy, and by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I understood that the ultimate objective of transcendence is not to get this Mukti Pad, but it is Bhakti Pad. To get Bhakti, the devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, how can I chant this verse as Muktipade? So I should correct the Srimad Bhagavatam verse from Muktipade to Bhaktipade. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's not good. Because you can't change scriptures. How can we change scriptures? That is ridiculous. Rather, we should understand the right meaning of the scriptures. Even if there is a mention like Muktipade. So Mahaprabhu said, who is actually Muktipad? Muktipade means unto the personality of Godhead, who's in his lotus feet Mukti resides. Can you understand? So the Mukti is residing in the lotus feet of Krishna. So Muktipade is ultimately referring to Krishna. So another name of Krishna is Kaivalyapati. We can see in the prayers of Queen Kunti, Lord Krishna is Kaivalyapate. He said this as Kaivalyapate. He is Kaivalyapati. He is the Lord of Kaivalya. So even though devotees do not desire to be one with the Lord by merging into the impersonal aspect, they understand that this impersonal aspect is another feature of the Lord. So they are happy to pay obeisances unto that impersonal feature, even though they don't want that. They don't want to dissolve their identity into the Brahma Jyoti. So here, Lord Brahma, you know, we can see he is paying obeisances. He is respectful to the impersonal aspect of the Lord. Sri Rupa Goswami, however, warns the devotees in Sadhana Bhakti, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in this way. He says that the material enjoyment and impersonal liberation are like witchcraft. So a devotee, when he is progressing in the devotional path, Maya has two aspects to allure. Srila Prabhupada says the impersonal aspect as the last snare of Maya. So one is normal sense gratification, which, you know, we get provoked many times, right? During the day, night, many times, you know, the sense gratification can come to our mind. May not be externally or internally. It's provoking, oh yeah, it's very nice, you know. Let's go back to our old habits. You know, maybe think about this, linger the mind in some unwanted things, you know, try out something, you know, going to the city, seeing different things. So this is the allurement of Maya. So this is the witchcraft of Maya. You know, witchcraft, you know, it's like, you know, witchcraft, you know, they can actually throw a spell and get some person completely under control. You know, there are, you know, I have seen people, you know, have heard, you know, even probably first or second hand experience of people who were, you know, attacked by this kind of witchcraft. They give some kind of food, okay? This food, they actually put something. And when they eat this food, what happens? They become under the control. It's like they act completely abnormally. And they can be even controlled. They can be controlled after that. This person who is controlling, they can do many things. He gets up, he goes here, he comes there. This is witchcraft. So this is the external influence through which a person who is afflicted by this witchcraft, he, you know, he becomes completely bewildered and completely is out of control. So in the same way, it's a reality, it is there. In the same way, we are also under the spell of Maya. It is like a witchcraft. So we, you know, we don't feel like, you know, we feel everything is normal. Yesterday night we were discussing this point about the three modes of material nature. We feel, you know, everything is normal, everything is good, life is going good, but Maya is attacking. And when we get completely enamored by Maya, we think, you know, it is very natural. There is a resistance stage. Resistance stage is when the Maya is attacking, we feel, okay, we have to combat the battle. Then one is completely submitted to Maya, then it is normal. Life is, yeah, this is how it is. You see? So this is one kind of allurement to devotees, even in the sadhana stage, in the sadhana bhakti, especially as Srila Rupa Goswami presents. Now, the second allurement as one progresses is that of the mukti, the kaivalya mukti. So, the kaivalya, one can think, now, you know, I don't have so much of a problem with controlling the senses, everything sounds good. Maybe I am above the three modes of material nature, and, you know, maybe I am one with God. I am one with Krishna. So all the problems are solved. So I am one with Krishna. So this is the second allurement, the last snare of Maya, which a devotee can be allured by. So great devotees definitely do not get into the trap of this Maya. This trap. Of course, we can think like that because of foolishness. You know, everyone thinks like that because of foolishness. But this can be of a great threat when one is very advanced. Muktir mukulitanchali sevate sman dharmartha kama gataya samaya pratiksha. This is a statement of Billamangal Thakur. He's so advanced that he has obtained Bhav Bhakti. In Bhav Bhakti, one has some perception of the Lord. One is seeing the Lord to some degree. So, Billamangal Thakur, in his realization, he says that Bhakti toyi istirataraya bhagavan yadisyat kalena na bhavati divya kishora murti. He says, if one gets this stiratara bhakti is referring to bhava bhakti. When is actually one gets to this bhava bhakti, it is just a matter of time, kalena, just by matter of time, na bhavati, divya kishora murti. Divya Kishora Murti, the Supreme Lord, the young cowherd boy of Vrindavan, Krishna, he become manifest in due course of time. Then, Billamangal Thakur says, then what happens? So when one has the vision of the Lord, even to a small degree, small realization of the transcendental form of the Lord, then Muktir Mukilidanjali Sevate Sman. Then the Mukti Devi, the impersonal liberation personified, comes with the folded hand and says, Sevate Sman, I am ready to serve you. What is the meaning of I am ready to serve you? If you want to come to me, if you want impersonal liberation, I am ready to offer unto you. And what to speak about other aspects? Even the impersonal liberation is ready to serve you, but what to speak about dharma artha kama gataya? What to speak about dharma, religiosity, artha, material wealth, kama, other sense gratification, what to speak about them? They are insignificant in terms of mukti. Even the Mukti Devi herself is ready to serve such a devotee. But Billamangal Thakur says it is insignificant for him because he was already in the bhava stage. So that is the nature of bhava bhakti, that moksha lakuta krit. So it becomes, you know, moksha becomes lakuta. It is, you know, insignificant. So a devotee understands this impersonal liberation as inseparable part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is inseparable because it is advayam. It is non-different. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaneti shabdyate. It is advayam. It is non-different from the Lord. However, they pay respects but they don't want such kind of a mukti. So they want the real mukti. What is that real mukti? Muktir hitva anyadha rupam swarupena vyavastiti. So, second canto, 9th chapter mentions that the real mukti, we don't have any problem with mukti, but there is real mukti. That is, muktir hitva anyadha rupam. Give up so many different kinds of forms. We have so many different kinds of identities. As a human, as a cat, as a dog, as a worm, as a mosquito. What to speak, you know, maybe as a demigod. As an Indian, as an Australian, as a Kiwi, I don't know, so many nationalities, so many kinds of identities, which we identify with completely. So, give up everything, anyadha rupam, swarupena vyavastiti, and be situated in one swarup, one's original form. So that is mentioned in this verse, swarup, in the original form of oneself, in connection to Krishna. So that is the real swarup. So that is the real mukti, and devotee is not averse of such mukti, and devotee is happy to accept such mukti if the Lord wants to award. He doesn't demand, but if it is awarded for the service sake, and then a devotee is ready to accept because it is necessary. Now Srila Prabhupada mentioned the word rasa is significant herein. The rasa dance is performed by Lord Krishna in the company of the cowherd damsels at Vrindavan. So here, there is the word rasa is mentioned, and Srila Prabhupada takes this word to its highest aspect. That is, Krishna's enjoyment with the gopis. Usually, there is a tendency to misconstrue Krishna's rasa dance. And Krishna himself is a personality who is misrepresented so many times. If anyone criticizes, in a Vedic literature, Krishna is the first person to be accused of because he performed enjoyment pastimes. And all the living entities wants to enjoy in this world. They want a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They want to have their own pastimes. They want to enjoy like anything. But when it comes to Krishna, they point their fingers. So Krishna is a very, I could say, highly misrepresented personality in the whole Vedic scripture. So people question, why Krishna is dancing with gopis who are wives of someone else's, right? Why Krishna is dancing with others' wives? It's a common question. Why Krishna steals? Why Krishna does this? Why Krishna lies? Why Krishna advises Arjuna in a certain way in the battle of Kurukshetra? So many questions for Krishna. So, why such questions comes? I heard a very good, very simple but good answer. His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj was mentioning. Because in one of the retreats, many people were asking, a few of them were asking, oh, in Mahabharata, this happened. Krishna did that. Krishna did this. So why is it so? So he asked, okay, you know Mahabharata. Have you read Bhagavad Gita? So the obvious answer from everyone was no. So he said, if you read Bhagavad Gita, then you can understand why. Right? Because people do not understand Bhagavad Gita. Many people know the stories in Mahabharata. But they do not know Bhagavad Gita, so they don't know the position of Krishna. So, naturally, they get bewildered. So, if you see Rasa dance, we can say, we can explain everything in a very simple logic. Well, how can Krishna steal everything? Krishna is actually known as the best of the thieves. Do you know that? Let's come to, since we are talking about Billamangal Thakur, there is an Ashtakam, 8 verses composed by Billamangal Thakur, it is called Chaurashtakam. Chaurashtakam. Chaurashtakam means, Chaura means chor, the same as chor means the thief. Chaurashtakam is glorifying Krishna as the thief. So all verses are about his thievery. And it is very interesting. He says, first line is Vraje Prasiddham Navanita Chauram Gopankananam Cha Duluka Chauram Aneka Janmarjita Papa Chauram Chauragra Ganyam Purusham Namami. Said, Vraje Prasiddham. He is the most famous personality in Braj. Navanita Chauram. And what he steals? Navanita. What is Navanita? Anyone knows what is Navanita? Butter, that's right. Navanita Chauram. Second, Gopanganam cha Duluka Chauram. Then, he stole the clothes of all the gopis. Gopanganam cha Duluka Chauram. So, these are the Lord's eternal pastimes in Vrindavan. And next line is very much applicable for us. And we are very much desiring that. That is, Aneka Janmarjita Papa Chauram. Do we need that? Yes, we are really looking for that. Aneka Janma, for, Aneka, millions and trillions of births, we have committed so many sinful activities. But he can just steal that also. Aneka Janmarjita Papa Chauram. Chauragra Ganyam Purusham Namami. Chauragra Ganyam. He is the best of the thieves. Purusham. That's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I pay my humble obeisances. So this is Krishna. Sri Radhikaya Hridayasya Chauram. Navambuda Shyamala Kanti Chauram. Sharanam Gatanam Padashritanam Samasta Chauram. Chauragra Ganyam Purusham Namami. Sri Radhikaya Hridayasya Chauram. Krishna steals, he always steals the heart of Sri Radhika. Sri Radhikaya Hridayasya Chauram Navambuda Shyamala Kanti Chauram. And he stole something which is very interesting. Navambuda Shyamala, meaning the luster of the rain cloud, which is deep dark blue. So he has stolen that color. Actually, Krishna gave that color to the cloud, but it is mentioned. He actually stole that color and Krishna is deep blue in his complexion. Next line again is applicable for us. So this is about his transcendental nature, the first two lines. Again, the third line is for us. He says, Padashritanam, one who has taken shelter of what happens? Samasta Chauram. What is the meaning of samasta charam? He steals everything. He doesn't leave anything. If you really take shelter of Krishna, he can steal everything. Chauragra ganyam purusham namami. Then the third line, the third verse actually goes, you know, nishkanchani krite jagasamudram. It says, he can make one pauper in the street, without home, without any facilities. what can you do? So this is Krishna. He says, this is the real thief. He said, I have never seen such a thief. The last line of the third verse is that Vilamangal Thakur said, I have never heard, I have never seen such a thief. In Jagatrayam, in the third three worlds. So this is Krishna. So Krishna steals everything. So of course he steals butter. So one can ask, why Krishna steals everything? Okay, why he steals everything? Does he steal anything actually? No, he doesn't steal anything, right? Because everything belongs to him, right? So in the pastimes of Vrindavan, he steals for the pastime's sake, for rasa, for his enjoyment and the enjoyment of others. Then in the material world, he's stealing everything, probably everything from us. Why? Because for our purification. So we become happy. For our well-being, he is stealing everything. So it is mentioned, Nishkinjani Kritya. Nishkinjani Kritya means one becomes pauper. So Nishkinjan has two meanings. One is he can literally take everything. Second meaning is one can be very wealthy. He may have everything. But a Nishkanjana devotee doesn't have any attachment to them. So that is the second meaning of Nishkanjana. So Ambarish Maharaj, he had the whole kingdom. He had the whole palace. He had the whole wealth. But still he is considered a Nishkanjana devotee. Why? Because he didn't have any attachment for them. Because he had all attachment for Krishna. So one can say, so everything belongs to Krishna, so he cannot steal everything because everything is his. So who is actually stealing? So we are stealing. Right? Yes, it's asked, you know, who is dancing with other's wife? Actually, everyone is Krishna's wife. Everyone belongs to Krishna. So, you know, who can? You know, Krishna is dancing with someone means he's actually Krishna's wife. It's not our wife. It's not possible. It is just a temporary arrangement here. It's very temporary. But everything belongs to Krishna. So, yes, second reason is rasa dance. Krishna is actually, even though Krishna is Atma Ram, he engages in pastimes with his devotee. That is because of his attachment and love for his devotee. That is the nature of Krishna. Because bhakti attracts Krishna. So bhakti just attracts, it is from the perspective of a devotee, it's mentioned that bhakti attracts Krishna. It is not just Krishna. It's Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and all the devotees. Priyavarga Samanyatam. Krishna, for a pure devotee, they attract not only Krishna, Krishna and all his devotees, Priyavarga Samanyatam, all of them get attracted to such bhakti. So, Krishna, how can Krishna dance with the damsels of Vrindavan? Because they are his energy. So, they are his creation. They are internal potency. Srimati Radharani is personification of his internal potency. Similarly, the gopis of Vrindavan, they are manifestation of his internal potency. So, Krishna has all the right to be with them. And not only that, Krishna can also enjoy the material energy. The only person who can enjoy material energy is Krishna. We cannot enjoy material energy. If we try to enjoy material energy, then we will suffer. And we have so much of experience in that. I don't know how far we have learned, but we have a lot of experience suffering in this world. We make so many plans to enjoy and we get burnt. We get suffering as a result. But the Lord, he can actually enjoy. So it is mentioned in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how the Lord enjoys with the material energy. Bhungte gunan shodasha shodasha atmaka soalin krishishta bhagavan vachamsi me. This is a prayer by Shukadev Goswami before start speaking Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto. So in that prayer, Sukadeva Goswami glorifies the Supreme Lord, and especially he is glorifying the Purusha incarnations of the Supreme Lord. So he is glorifying Krishna, indeed, for accepting such Purusha incarnations. And such Purusha incarnations are very special because they are the cause of creation. And how this creation takes place? Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha. Nirmaya Shete. For creation, he doesn't do anything extraneously. Rather, he just sleeps. Nirmaya Shete. He's just lying down and he's sleeping. If you go to various deities in South India, worshipped by Sri Vaishnavas, we can see the Lord is lying down. Right? If you go to Srirangam, you can see the Lord is lying down. You go to Ananta Padmanabha temple, the Lord is lying down, he's sleeping. You go to Adikeshava temple, where Mahaprabhu found his Brahma Samhita, the Lord is sleeping. So this is glorifying the pastime of the Lord of creation. But in his creation, he's not just like dreaming, but his dreaming is real. So that is Nirmaya Shede Yat Amusha Purusha. That Lord, he's just sleeping. And what he does? He is the real proprietor of the gunas. So, bhungte gunan. So he can actually enjoy the gunas. Bhungte. Bhungte means to enjoy or eat. Another meaning of bhungte. But he actually enjoys the gunas. Bhungte gunan. How? What gunas? Shodasha, shodashatmaka. The primary elements are 16. Shodashagatmaka. And he to manifest. For creation means these elements has to be manifested. Come into action. So for that he actually just sleeps. So he's the real enjoyer of the gunas. That's why Srila Prabhupada writes here, the Supreme Personality Godhead Vishnu is also engaged in rasa enjoyment with his external potency, by which he creates, maintains and dissolves the entire material manifestation. So this is the enjoyment of rasa, the dance of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So Lord Brahma is definitely glorifying Garbhodakshaya Vishnu because he is seeing, he has the vision of the Vishnu, and also he had the vision of Krishna in his Gopal form, as it is mentioned here in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, where in the Gopavesh, as the cowherd boy, Lord Brahma gets the vision of Krishna. So Lord Brahma, he get to know the most innermost aspects of devotional service. Rajaguhyam, the secret of the secrets of Lord in the form of Gopavesh and his intimate pastimes. So that is mentioned. So since Lord Brahma had access to such intimate aspects of Krishna, indirectly Lord Brahma offers his respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who is factually ever engaged in rasa enjoyment with the gopis, as confirmed in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. And finally, Srila Prabhupada writes, the distinction between the Lord and the living entity is definitely experienced when there is sufficient intelligence to understand his internal potency, as distinguished from the external potency by which he makes possible the material manifestation. If we want to experience the internal potency, it is very practical. We can experience the internal potency of the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Even people who are real seekers, when they chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they say that there is a difference. Of course, as a practicing devotees, we can see certainly there is something very, very special about chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's not, definitely we can definitely say that chanting Hare Krishna is spiritual experience. And we can experience that, we can feel that. It's not just scriptural statement, but one can experience the internal potency of the Lord simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, by associating the Lord through his sound vibration. That's why in our preaching, to increase the Bhaktyonmakhi Sukriti, the Agyada Sukriti of the people, we just do chanting. And the beginning of any lecture, we have some chanting. Because unknowingly, they are getting in touch with the internal potency of the Lord. Because to understand anything in transcendence, they had to be touched by the internal potency of the Lord. Otherwise, there is no access to any bhakti knowledge. Because the bhakti knowledge is residing in the internal potency of the Lord. Bhakti knowledge is internal potency of the Lord. Bhakti Shakti, it is internal potency of the Lord. So, one can experience this internal potency by primarily by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and in all our devotional services and all other devotional aspects. And with intelligence, Prabhupada mentioned that sufficient intelligence, one can make this distinction. So initially, one can at least logically, theoretically, one can understand that, okay, we have to be separate from the Lord. It is just a simple logic. It doesn't need so much of a, scholarship to understand we are different from the Lord. Understand our suffering position and the Lord's enjoying position. Then we can understand, okay, we are suffering, so we are not infinite. Even though we can come to the enjoyment position by serving the all-enjoyer Krishna. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. Even for a practicing devotee, in the beginning stage, Maya is helping. Because test is actually a help. If there is a, say, for example, if you have a book to study or if you go for a course, generally students don't study, right? How many study every day, go home and, do the homework and do all the study. When everyone studies, when the exam comes, right? So our exam, we face exam on a daily basis, maybe hourly basis, I don't know how frequently. So we have Maya's test all the time. So it's a great opportunity for us. If there is a Maya's testing, then we chant sincerely. Oh, we are in trouble, so I have to chant. Right? So we can see that test of Maya's help. We don't have to wait till, whatever state. We can see it's helping. Maya's attack is there, material energy is attacking. In one sense, Maya is testing. Yeah, it is good for my advancement. Now, at least let me do something. The point is, we shouldn't get submitted to such allurements. Rather, we had to take some action. So that is the whole thing about Krishna consciousness in the sadhana stage. That there are many tests, but we need to fight back. There's no point being morose. So that is another problem that can occur. Oh yeah, so much of Maya, now I want to stop fighting. So that is the victory to Maya. See, we are giving in to. Rather, it is said, one has to deal with Maya in a sportive spirit. Sportive spirit means, oh yeah, Maya is attacking, giving the unnecessary thoughts in my mind and giving me so many allurements which are taking me away from Krishna. Are you doing that? Okay, I will do something extra to counteract that. I'll pray extra, I'll chant extra, I'll read extra, I'll do some service. So this is the way we can take help from Maya in that way. We had to do something, right? Otherwise we are giving in to. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. A very good point. So Srila Prabhupada explains very clearly that the impersonal liberation is not an eternal feature of mukti. So even in impersonal liberation, one doesn't get actually merged, even though it is mentioned, we usually use the term merging. It doesn't, the jiva doesn't get merged with all other jivas or the jyoti in that way, so that the individuality is lost. completely. However, the impersonal Brahman realization is one understands one's spiritual nature and one gets Brahmananda. Brahmananda means the ananda, the bliss of the impersonal liberation, which is primarily lack of material suffering. That is the one aspect of it. That is, there is no material suffering in Brahmananda because it is not material. So there is ananda in that, even though it is considered insignificant compared to Premananda. So in that stage, one practically forgets his identity. Say now also we have forgotten our identity. Say if one person is completely in Maya, completely in the illusory energy, one forgets one's identity. No knowledge, just identifies with the matter and you know does all the activities in that forgetfulness. Similarly, in the impersonal liberation also, one forgets one's identity as servant of Krishna. So that is in the... So at the same time, so in that forgetfulness is there. But at the same time, one is not losing one's identity. So that's the reason Srila Prabhupada said one can actually fall down from Brahman realized state. It is not an eternal aspect of liberation. It's not an eternal aspect of mukti. But Prabhupada considered it as a temporary stage. Clear? Yeah. There are different perspective we can see. From the perspective of material suffering, it looks like it's ananda. It's bliss, right? At the same time, when we see the opinion of great devotees, they consider it as worse than hell, the impersonal liberation, because they understand what is the bliss of serving Krishna. And they have that much love for Krishna. So they want the personal association of Krishna. So when one is deprived of that, they consider that as suffering. So that's why, even though impersonal, okay, it is, you know, it's ananda, but the great devotees, they see it as suffering. You understand? Because there is infinite better things. So even coming to the deep sea example, there is a, you know, as a nectar devotion says, the devotees are considered who are the, like Makara, as the sharks swimming in the ocean of bhaktiras. So they don't want to become one with anything, but they have their transcendental life in the spiritual world. Just like being in the water doesn't mean one is getting merged into the water. Like, you know, if you consider a drop, usually the impersonalists take the example of drop becoming merged into the whole water. But the devotee says one can enter into the water without being merged. So that is aquatics in the ocean, and of which, you know, the Makara, you know, the shark is huge. So great devotees are compared to the sharks who are swimming and enjoying in the ocean of bhaktiras without losing their identity.
So, but for the other yogis, this the impersonal liberation
consider in that way. They consider in that way. But it is not true from an objective perspective, because higher aspects are presented in Bhagavatam and other Vedic scriptures. Yeah. Even the devotees are considered Atmaram. Atmaramascha minayo nirgantopi hurikrame kurvantiya haitugi bhakti mitham bodha gunahare hai. So, yes, the Lord is attached to his devotees. That is higher understanding. Higher understanding of God is not just as Atmaram, you know, he is satisfied to himself. Yes, we can see his feature as, you know, self-satisfied. For example, he doesn't get interfered. You know, he is Ubhadrashta, Anumanta, Varta, Bhokta, Maheshra. He is just, you know, he is enjoying it within, you know, of course, within means, you know, he is, within includes his devotees, because the devotees are his internal potency. So, his enjoyment is always there. But we can say he can be just Ubhadrashta, he can be just a witness. To the material creation, he is just a witness. He doesn't have to interact with the, you know, the material aspects of what's going on in our mind. He doesn't have to really directly interact. He doesn't have to. So he can accept such a neutral position if required. He is also considered as a neutral, right? For the materialist, he just acts as neutral. So the laws of karma take place. So somebody get rewarded, somebody get punished. So the Lord remains as neutral. But when it comes to, so there, you know, he is not interfering. But when it comes to his devotees, you know, he doesn't say, you know, I'm Atmaram. No, I'm just, you know, I'm just self-satisfied. He wants to interact with the devotees. So, for example, the explanation given on, you know, Rasa dance, for example, he's with his devotees, he's enjoying. On one level, he's not losing his Atmaram position, because enjoying in himself includes his energies. You understand? Enjoying himself includes his energy. So, he can always remain Atmaram. At the same time, he's attached to his devotees. They are his energy, so interact with them. So, both are simultaneously existing. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everything, he includes everything in that sense. So, it's his internal enjoyment. His interaction with the devotees, it is all internal enjoyment. Yeah, to increase their enjoyment. Krishna is trying to serve his devotees, and the devotees are trying to serve him. So this is the whole thing is in the internal potency. The whole thing is antaranga shakti, the whole spiritual world. Whole, you know, everything is in the antaranga shakti. So yeah. Any final question? Yeah.
How do we
devotional service in practice is engaging one's senses in service of the proprietor and the controller of the senses. That is bhakti. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchyate. So, now our spiritual senses, our spiritual mind are not active. It is there, it is still covered, it is not active. However, and currently, forgetting the spiritual aspect, our interaction of the pure spirit soul is filtered through the false ego and then using the material mind, material intelligence and the senses. So this is the mechanism through which currently we are operating. However, when the holy name touches the senses, so there is something known as purification. So the senses get purified. Senses get purified means the senses, it is starting from the faith. A little bit of we understand, okay, it is, you know, something about Krishna. Okay, I am a servant of Krishna. A little bit of small faith we have. And I am a servant of Krishna. So this is his holy name. So one gets a little bit of understanding about transcendence. So that point, the false ego is actually, there is a break in the false ego. To some degree, we are identifying with our true ego. We understand, okay, at least theoretically, we understand, okay, we are the spirit soul. And with that Shraddha, when we hear the holy name, then the experience that we get, it is not mundane experience. That is actually spiritual experience. Because the senses, the ear through which we are hearing, it is purified. Because now we are not, everything starts from the initial condition that, okay, we understand a little bit that, okay, this is the spiritual vibration, I am servant of Krishna. Some faith is there. And from that, all other aspects actually start manifesting. From that little bit of Shraddha. That is the preliminary element to start devotional service. Some, you know, it's pretty good, you know, let me try. So even that small Shraddha, that help us to experience something which is transcendental. So the more we develop our faith in devotion service, and when we hear the holy name, it becomes, we experience more transcendental experience. Basically, the experience, what is the transcendental experience of hearing Krishna's name? One is, okay, we hear Krishna's name and the thought about Krishna comes to the mind. This is spiritual. You know, just like the deities, for example, the deities is made of, you know, earth, water, fire, so many things. But when the deities are installed and with faith, when we look at the deities, we get the spiritual experience. They don't act as clay, stone, mud, whatever. They act as the Sachidananda form of the Lord. They reciprocate. In the same way, when the holy name in itself, even though it can look like composed of material sound vibration, it is spiritual. And when it enters, the impression that creates in our mind, in our intelligence, they are spiritual by nature. So even the thought about Krishna, it is spiritual. It is the Lord coming in the mental energy. In the mind is material, but the Lord is manifesting in that material energy, in the mental, subtle material energy. It's powerful. The Lord, think about Krishna, is very powerful. In the advanced devotional service, thinking about Krishna is so much there. What even in the sadhana bhakti, what the whole idea of sadhana bhakti is, always think about Krishna, never forget him. So it is spiritual energy. The Lord is manifesting in the spiritual energy. The mind, even the mind, the thought about Krishna, it is spiritual. Because it's spiritualized. So that's how we get the experience of Krishna. Even just by hearing Krishna's name, ears are getting the experience. Actually, the experience is, you know, it's by the soul is experiencing. But even though it is coming through different mediums, through different senses and the mind, the soul is actually experiencing. Even though his own mind activities, everything is not yet manifested. All the things are through the external senses and the mind. But that still that experience is there. Thank you very much. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.